that the Lord may be pleased to help me again direct your attention to Isaiah 43 and reading verse 26. Isaiah 43, verse 26. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. This surely is indeed a word from the Lord to his people. A word of meaning, a word to bring the poor sinner out. For previously, in verse 22, we find these words, "But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel." God then indeed knows that we have not called upon him as we ought, and that we have been weary of him. Surely, this is ignoring the Almighty. We know this, that such insolence, or ignoring our superiors, such as parents and teachers, can be most provoking. And surely this is most provoking to God Almighty when we treat him in such a way as this. Do I hear one say, "Oh, but I forgot"? Did you really forget? Or did we find it convenient to forget? But be as it may, it hasn't gone unmarked and unnoticed by Almighty God. "But thou hast not called upon me." Oh, so often we fear that this is the case with us. We call upon God when we are in trouble. We call upon him when we cannot manage ourselves. But all the time we think we can manage, or trust in other people or something, then our prayer and style of prayer, oh, what is it? It's formal, isn't it? It's not real. We may pray because it is time to pray, or we may be out of favour if we don't pray. But, oh, Israel had not called upon God, not in sincerity and in truth. See the long-suffering mercy of God. So he brings these people to say, "Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together." You may wonder why I read two portions of scripture, quite different in content, one from the other, but exactly the same in that all scripture is given of God, and is inspired of him, and it's there for our teaching. We began our reading there, did we not? There was Jacob, my friend, turning to God and calling upon him. We we know not his exact spiritual position or the time he was serving Laban. But that period of time would have been a time of teaching undoubtedly to him. He says, put me in remembrance. And so Jacob, my friend, here did put God in remembrance. The Lord had told him now to return to his father's house, to leave Laban, to gather up all that had belonged to him. Put me in remembrance. Lord, thou saidst thou wouldst surely do me good. Surely, Lord, thou hast given to me so much, and I have increased so much. I came with nothing, but I have now much. But that much that I have gained is now under threat, a real threat, for Laban, for Esau, his brother, is coming to meet him. I often wonder, with regards to the communication that caused Esau to come and meet Jacob, whether he had intended to go all the way to the house of Laban, I don't know. But this we know. Remember, we put the Lord in remembrance. Lord, thou didst meet me at Bethel. Did the Lord meet you at Bethel? Brought you to that place to open your eyes and your understanding? You knew your father to have a God, but more about God than that you did not know. But God knew everything about you. So the Lord appeared to him in a vision. In a vision. We read, and the Lord stood above it. Stood above it. Or when he awoke, poor Jacob realized that he had been aroused to the truth. He had been awakened to the truth that his God was his creator, and that he was answerable to him, and that he had not only sinned against his father and his brother, but he has sinned against a just and holy God. Put me in remembrance. Lord, I remember these things. But oh, he wanted God to come and return unto him. Put me in remembrance. And I believe this. God put him in remembrance that day and gave to him those things that Jacob would never, never forget. Do you remember that day, that hour, that you will never forget? Reduced indeed through fear and weakness of what the future might hold for him, he looks beyond the things of this life to eternity. And so we read of Jacob wrestling with God. I say, what do we know about wrestling? When God said here, but thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. Thou hast been weary of me. You haven't been wrestling there, have you? But when the Lord comes and stirs you up and stirs up your nest, is it not then he causes you to wrestle with him? I will not let thee go except thou bless me. The devil will say to you, that is presumption on your part, to think that you can wrestle with God and make such demands of God for such things. Friend, oh, blessed be his name, that he has mercy upon you, and that he will even invite the poor sinner in this manner, yes, to put him in remembrance. Yes, make a dialogue, start the call, or approach unto him, as I spoke this morning, by knocking at mercy's door, put me in remembrance. How dost thou remember that time when that you put to that place, I will not let thee go except thou bless me? The Lord put a mark upon the body of Jacob. You say, why did he do that? He halted all the rest of his days upon his thigh. You say, that was seemed to be cruel and inconvenient. Ah, my friend, what things we need to cause us to remember him, and indeed to call upon his name and to pray. Surely that is a poor Christian that has nothing to pray about. Wrestling prayer can wonders do. Yes, it can. It is prayer that can make a passage through, isn't it? It is prayer that will cut through iron bars and brazen gates. It is prayer that will pierce through deepest straits. Yes. Put me in remembrance. Lord, who indeed can do these things? But Lord, thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we both ask or think. I often think of that wonderful benediction of the apostles. Now unto him that is able. Ah, my friend, put me in remembrance. Lord, I am not able, but Lord, thou art exceedingly able to meet my case and my need. I say, what a wonder that is. Put me in remembrance. Oh, this the style, the manner of prayer that he brings us in. I know troubles. No. But my friend, the same God who's been our help in ages past is able to be our helper still. Put me in remembrance. Put me in remembrance the reason of things. The reason of things. Why you are so fearful. Ah, my friend, how considerate the Lord is of poor and needy sin, the reason of it. He makes us indeed to know the reason of things. Lord, not because I'm a stalwart, not because I am a giant in these days, no, but I am a poor dependent upon thy grace, because thou art a merciful God. Put me in remembrance. I've thought so much recently about those two that were on the Emmaus Road, and there they were going over the things that had happened, and Jesus said to them, what things? Put me in remembrance. Why, of course, Jesus did know, didn't he? But their eyes were holden, so they told him all. And he said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to have entered into his glory? Oh, the reason of things. Put me in remembrance. Why? It was the introduction of their eyes being opened. It was the beginning of the Lord revealing himself to them. And he revealed himself to them in the breaking of bread. And I say, what did that mean to them? And what does it mean to the one church of God today? This is my body, which is broken for you. This was how my body was broken. As bread is the staff of life, so the body of Jesus Christ is the staff of eternal life. By him indeed alone, we have peace with God in heaven. He took the body of Christ and his sufferings and accepted his sufferings on behalf of all his dear people. I say, how intense his sufferings must be. A dear friend of mine is often concerned at people using the word agony and say, I was in agony because Jesus Christ being in agony in Gethsemane. Friend, I say, remember this. Oh, how true that is. Oh, we cannot exaggerate the sufferings of Christ. If anything, we minimize his sufferings and enlarge our own. I shall never forget visiting the dear soul Carol Izzard, and she was in great pain and was suffering, and she was weeping one morning, and I said to her, what is wrong, Carol? And she said, oh, it's not me. I feel so upset, so sorrowful for the sufferings which Jesus endured to put away my sins. I say, what a place to come to. She put him in remembrance. I say, with her tears, with her sorrow. Oh, she put him in remembrance. She did care for him because he had cared for her. What a place to come to. As the Lord brought us there, put me in remembrance. Yes, oh, of thy sufferings so intense, the pain which thou didst so endure. So Jacob, we find, he pleased with his God, and he went on his way, didn't he? You know, we read this, that when a man pleases God, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. That was wonderful in the case of Jacob and Esau. That in this time of the Lord's appearing, Esau worked in the heart of Esau that he could not touch anything or take anything that was of Jacob's. Friend, it's a great mercy to find again reconciliation to those who once we were enemies with. say, how can these things be? Can we be reconciled to the world? No, we cannot. I'm sure of this. Jacob and Esau lived two different types of lives. But my point is this, they wasn't enemies together, to be found in conflict there and then together. We need indeed to be very careful with regards to our zeal for conflict and confrontation with our enemies. Jesus Christ teaches us to pray for our enemies and for them which despitefully use you. And it's true, we come across them, do we not? Oh, put me in remembrance, Lord, why I should do this. What cause I have to do this. Oh, put me in remembrance. Friend, if our heart and our spirit is not right towards our enemies, towards our brethren, then it's not right towards God. If jealousy, hatred, and enmity exist, then there's something basically wrong with us. And I say, do we not find the deterioration of prayer and access to God when such a spirit prevails? You may be tired of me in prayer sometimes, but I often have to cry unto the Lord that he would regulate and control my spirit. And I do humbly believe it comes from the heart, because we know it, friends. Put me in remembrance. We're made to know it and to feel it. And who indeed can make those crooked things straight and those rough places plain? Oh, I say, to live our whole life with hatred and enmity to a certain person, as so many years past, is something basically wrong. Oh, the Lord might deliver us from that. The teaching of the Saviour is this, that we should forgive them. And it teaches us this, there cannot be forgiveness given to us unless we forgive them. Oh, put the question in. Let us face the question. Oh, do we need forgiveness? Do we seek forgiveness? Do we ask for forgiveness? Hast thou received forgiveness? Then if ye have freely received, then freely give. Oh, put me in remembrance. Oh, that is almighty God. Of all these things, oh, awaken. Oh, we pray to my case unto my need. I often think of a similitude, a likeness to the Jesus Christ asleep in the boat. He is almighty and omnipotent God. He knows all things and understands all things. And here is this awful storm arose in the sea. And these seamen, these fishermen, who were so well versed with the Sea of Galilee and would have met many a storm, we find them in a state of panic. They're unable to cope with the situation. Oh, put me in remembrance, Lord. Oh, I cannot manage, I cannot cope. But we read that Jesus arose and rebuked the winds and the waves. He stilled them with a word. Put me in remembrance. And the effect, I say, do you remember that? And there was a great calm. The Lord disarms you. He takes away all that you've got. And thus says to you, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Yes, put me in remembrance. Lord, oh, the great controller of the storms, control this one also. But I read in Peter, did I not? Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. A most precious portion of Scripture to me. At one time I preached a lot from that text. I say, how is it with us now? Put me in remembrance. Is he precious to you? And to them which believe, he is precious. He's no longer a stone of stumbling, a rock of offence. Some, my friends, that state and condition will never vanish from them. But the dear Lord's people, how different. And how Peter ends that chapter upon this line, all we like sheep have gone astray, and every one turned to his own way. There must be so many ways then. To every way of man there is a way. But that's not the way of God, is it? Is it? No, indeed not. Put me in remembrance. Do we not indeed find the sheep following the shepherd? And what is their cry? You say, well, they all say the same thing. They do, don't they? And they put the shepherd in remembrance as he leads them forth by the right way. The shepherd, he cannot begin to forget what he is calling them forth to. He cannot forget, indeed, to go and get the food when he come rise at the right spot to feed them. I say, he goeth before his sheep. Put me in remembrance. Is this your cry to Almighty God? Lord, let be thou my guide, be thou my director, and Lord, bring me in the right way. You know, the shepherd brings his sheep in the place where he would have them be. And we know this, that the shepherd will remove the sheep about for their own good. There's the old saying, and it's true, because of the life cycle of the larva, of the worm, that they should not feed in the same pasture to Sunday's running. Meaning this, you don't leave them there because they will reinfect themselves. They need green pasture which is not affected by that larva. I say, put me in remembrance. Lord, we need fresh pasture. We need thy care. We need thy attention, Lord. Oh, that we may be freed from any infestation of the world. And how soon we can become infested by that which is erroneous. And I often fear this very much. we're apt to get into a groove and into a rut. We can be much affected by the enthusiasm even of those who have not the real grace of God abounding in their heart. Oh, I say, put me in remembrance. Lord, this is thy word. This is the place where thy sheep do feed. But we need thee, O Holy Spirit, to guide us and to teach us, that we may be led in pastures green. For it is no good looking just to the poor minister, because they are poor, really. Yes, in and of themselves, they cannot supply anything. They need supplying to supply you. Oh, put me in remembrance, Lord. Oh, if I'm found in your prayers and in your petitions, shall not this be our favoured spot? Well, some might think, well, that is the duty of the deacons, or it may be the duty of the members of the church. Can you speak for them? Oh, you children, I believe God indeed speaks to every one. Put me in remembrance. Your need, your need. Ah, my friend, thou art the good shepherd, and the good shepherd careth for his sheep. Therefore, oh, you little ones, do not be ashamed or embarrassed to ask of him who surely doth hear, and that thou surely will obtain. You might say, to give you that which you need. Put me in remembrance. But I want to come to a point here, and it's this. We can never, never dictate to God. God indeed is supreme, and he has a right to answer us as he does see fit. And so the psalmist said, give me neither poverty nor riches, but feed me with food convenient for me. Put me in remembrance, Lord. Thou knowest what I stand in need of. Thou knowest, Lord, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Put me in remembrance. It seems as the word of God opens up to us a door that bids poor sinners come unto him. Put me in remembrance. You know, if Mephibosheth had come to the table of David, and someone said, well, what are you doing here, Mephibosheth? You're lame in both feet, and we know who your grandfather was, and you know how he treated David. You don't think he's going to accept you here? Ah, my friend, put me in remembrance. David has said to Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth, thou shalt always sit at my table. That which had come between me and your grandfather, what has befallen, shall not indeed be a matter of enmity and contention, but come to my table. Or may the peace of David's household dwell with you. So I say, it can be said of Almighty God, I put him in remembrance, what he has said unto his people, that they may come, and he has given us something to plead for. I say, coming back to the ordinance of prayer, has the Lord given you anything to plead for and a reason to plead with him. He said, I am, even I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, will not remember thy sins. I don't want to remember thy sins anymore. They are pardoned and forgiven. The whole glorious scheme of saving grace was to deliver man from his sin that would have sunk him into endless torment. Yes, it was. Therefore, he says, and will not remember thy sins. What a wonderful thing that is. Art thou tempted? You've got to do a little of your own and bring a little more. My friend, what can you bring? What can you bring? The hymn writer's got it right. He will not indeed receive at the bleeding short his hand and ask again at mine. But what did David say he would bring? He said, I'll take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. It's a lovely expression, isn't it? The cup of salvation. Lord, what thou hast said, what thou hast given, I'll call upon the name of the Lord. Thou dost glory in that cup of salvation. I will not forget thee, though thou hast forgotten me. It was the charge, wasn't it, of Israel of old, that the Lord had forsaken them. Was it fair? Was it just? And are our charges against God fair and just? No. Is it a woman may forget her sucking child? She may do. Something may supersede the care and attention she has for the child she feeds herself. But I will not forget thee. Nothing will supersede that. I will not forget thee. And I'm ever able, oh, to meet thy ever returning need. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Amen.